Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not trust in princes and mortal man in whom there is no salvation. His spirit departs. He returns to earth, and that very day his thoughts perish. How blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made the heaven and earth, the seas and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets his prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the stranger. He supports the fatherless and the widows, but he thwarts the way of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Bless this, the hearing and the reading of his word. Nice to see y'all manage to survive daylight savings time or whatever it is we're in now. You know, that time where we look at each other going, why in the world do they keep messing with my sleep patterns? Now, it is a reminder because this happens every year until Congress can get its act together. But our year is almost done. And we constantly mention, where did the time go? Well, if it helps, in 3 weeks, we start a new year. And for all of you that are going, what in the world are you talking about? In 3 weeks, we begin the new church year. We begin with the season of Advent. It's on the 28th. And not to drop dimes, that's when we put the decorations up and we make the nice all pretty, and we will probably be inviting you all. There's no probably, you'll be all invited to come fellowship with us as we make our sanctuary a gift for the blessings of Christ, for his birth. We'll do a little fellowshipping, we'll have some fun. We'll do Christmas carols. Now, there is some background because it kind of ties into our sermon this morning on praising the Lord. There are seven seasons in the church year. We have Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, and that's the time when the wise men journey and give praise and blessings to Jesus. The celebration of Easter leads right into Lent, Holy Week, and Easter, where we celebrate the death and the resurrection, and then Pentecost, and the season after Pentecost, which is the longest part of the year. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is, as I said, that it all has a direct connection to where I want to go this morning. Both secularly, because we are going to have to deal with New Year's fairly soon, and the church. But if we take a look at the two biggest seasons of the year in the church year, you have that time of praise and thanksgiving. We have Advent. Jesus is coming. We have Christmas. Jesus is here. We have Epiphany. Hey, guess what? Life is good. The three kings come down and say, let's worship the Lord. Immediately after that, we have the time. And when I say immediate, it's in very few weeks. We have the time of sorrow, of grief, and there is joy on Easter morning. But that's there. And that all starts with Holy Week. Well, actually, it starts with Lent, right after Mardi Gras. Go figure. Now, Lent is the time where we begin an inward reflection upon ourselves. It's a time that is formally made up so we can examine where we stand before the Lord, look at ourselves honestly as Christians and as a church, where do we need to get better? And after the 4 weeks of Lent, which is the 4 weeks before Holy Week, which starts with Palm Sunday, not counting Sundays, we have Holy Week. Starts with Palm Sunday and works all the way through each Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, something separate happens. Now, to be perfectly honest, I kind of concentrate on 2 days, Monday, Thursday, the institution of the Lord's Supper, Good Friday, where Christ dies. I consider that, and it's a personal opinion, that is the holiest day of the year. Far surpasses his birth, because it was that sacrifice that allows us to be here today to celebrate in him. And that we have so many churches that'll combine the two. We'll do Holy Thursday. I'm sorry, we'll do Monday, Thursday, and then we'll do Good Friday, and then we can have a couple days off until Easter morning and go, yay, he's back. And to be perfectly honest, we have too many churches out there that are lazy, that will not look at what that season begins with. Because we're really due. We do communion every week. We don't celebrate Jesus' death as it should be. We don't give it the reverence that comes. Now, as I said, we have all that. What does that have to do with Psalm 146 and the holidays? Now, I want you to look at this realistically. Starting from, to be perfectly honest, Halloween night, there are some things that are going to happen. We're going to overeat. We're going to have parties. We're going to have fellowship. We're going to have fun. And that's not a bad thing. I think it's absolutely wonderful. By the time Thanksgiving actually gets here, interesting things happen in our world. Things start to shut down. Everything up to Thanksgiving, okay, we're going to get ready because we know the day after Thanksgiving, we're going to start tapering down. The holiday parties, the Christmas parties, the fellowships, the cookies, the candies. And could be next week, could wait till the end of the month, Christmas carols start again. I've been told I'm not allowed to do Christmas carols too early because my wife keeps saying no. But I drive my own car now. I'm just waiting for everybody else to get where I am right now. Some places already have their decorations up. I have noticed that in some stores, it's not nearly as bad as it has been in previous years. But they started on Halloween and will be working it through. And again, what does that have to do with anything that was in that reading there? And I say that because as we start at this Sunday, we should be looking at everything that goes on between here and the end of the year with joy and praise to God for everything he's done in our lives. You see, we can forget getting caught up in the season, exactly what the season is. And we're going to get bombarded from both sides of the thing. Now you'll say Merry Christmas, and I don't care what anybody says. I've never had anybody look at me askance because I wish somebody a Merry Christmas. Because this is it. We are celebrating the joy of Christ. If you're not a believer, I don't care if you call it Happy Harmonica Day. I'm not worried about you in the holiday system. I praise God for everything he gives me. I praise God for you people, the state of my life, everything Jesus has done for me, and formally, The authorized celebration has already started. Okay, all that aside, Psalm 146 through 150 are known as the Hallelujah Hymns. And it's because they begin and end with the Hebrew word for hallelujah, which literally means praise the Lord. And if you can, take the time this week to read through all of them. Because in between the praise of the Lord and the praise of the Lord, there is some really incredible factual stuff for what God and Jesus, one and the same, does in our lives. And we need to get in the habit of praising what God has done, what God is doing, instead of, quite frankly, feeling sorry for ourselves because things aren't quite going the way we would like them to. And as you find yourself getting caught up in Christmas presents and planning on parties and family coming in or you're going out, read one of those hymns and put it back in perspective. This whole season, Thanksgiving, Christmas is exactly that. Thank you, God, for what you're doing for me. I am so lucky. And thank you, Jesus Christ, for being born. And that is not a time of sadness. It is not a time of sorrowfulness. It's a time of joy and thanksgiving. Now, as I said, we have praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Verses 1 and 2 are really, really awesome. Sandwiched in between that, however, is what is in reality called the social gospels. Now we're going to talk to that when we get to verse 7. It is not the social gospel that so many churches are preaching today. It's not the social gospel that we got to go out and change the climate. It's the social gospel of exactly what God expects from you because he has done it first. There is only one social gospel, and that is the gospel of God, the Lord Almighty. And if we take a look at the first two verses, we find the psalmist prays to praise the Lord. And it's repeated four times. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. And I encourage you to read it out loud. Read it that way. Don't go, well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Christians today are so darn afraid we're going to offend somebody. We wouldn't be in the trouble we're in this nation today if Christians got up and said, I don't care. I praise the Lord. He is my Savior. And if by some strange chance, you followed along, your life wouldn't be screwed up. But we want to be meek and mild. The time in this nation for being meek and mild is over, or we are going to lose. Satan is out there every day. You see it. He's pushing abortion. He's pushing taking things away. He's pushing our politicians to tax us, simply to tax us, to take away our form of government, to take away our rights to come to church. I praise God because it ain't gonna happen. Sounds kind of funny with everything else I just said, but this is the praise we need to hang on to, and we have to tell people. Somebody comes up to you, you're carrying a Bible. You can't do that. Oh, yes, I can, and there's not a darn thing you can stop you to. In your school, you're not allowed to say that. Oh, yes, you can. There is not a law in the world, in fact, it's been supported in law, that God is not kept out. It's kept out because Christian parents did not push the subject when the heathens came in. Praise the Lord. We praise the Lord with all our souls while we live, while we're here on this planet. We will sing praises to God with every breath in my body until I no longer have breath. Because a great thing's happened. Hey, no longer have breath. You're a Christian. Guess where you get to go? Wonderfulness. And the call to praise, and we're going to do a lot of psalm singing here. The requirement to praise the Lord for what he does in our lives is all through the Psalms. Psalm 103 tells us, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Psalm 104, 1 and 35, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my Lord God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. Let the sinners be consumed from earth, and let wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord." Sinners are doomed. In verse 2, it goes further and further. "I will sing praises to my God while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being." And we should sing praises constantly, because God is constant in our lives. It should not be an occasional thing when we thank God for what's going on, because God is never occasional. He is constant. We go to him in prayer when things are bad, and he answers our prayer. It will be exactly what we need. We may not realize it at the time, because hindsight is a really, really, really wonderful thing. God is protecting us. He's loving us. He's caring for us. And even if things don't go the way we want them to, he'll make sure we are taken care of. Psalm 63:4, "So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name." Psalm 104:33, "I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being." I will praise him every day. Praise him, my blessed Redeemer. He's out there. He died for us. All of our efforts should go forward to praising him. And again, I ask, why should we praise the Lord? Who else are we going to praise? Who should we praise? And that's not a rhetorical question. It's not a question asked to be a wise guy. It's not a question lightly given, or it's not made in jest. Who out there in our lives today cares so much about us? Who out there in our lives today, of our friends, family, or anything else, can we count on no matter what is going on? There is not one people. There's a loving congregation. Love each and every one of you. You've helped me. I've watched you help one another. I've watched you be there in support. But you do it for one reason, because you love God and you're following his direction. Verse 3 and 4 really hit it. "Do not trust in princes, in mortal man, in whom there is no salvation. His spirit departs, he returns to the earth, and in that very day his thoughts perish." Now, I did have to go over that 2 or 3 times to make sure I got it right in this thick little head of mine. But look at what it's saying. Don't trust mortal men. Do not trust in princes. There is no salvation there. We can only get salvation from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We can't get it anywhere else. And anybody else says our salvation is something else is lying to you. Had no idea what they're talking about. Our government doesn't give us salvation. All the good-minded, helpful peoples around us don't give us salvation. Our salvation comes from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In fact, Psalm 118:9 again tells us, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than trust in princes. And by princes, we're talking rulers. Mortals cannot protect us from our biggest distractor. And as I said, despite the good of intentions of people that are actually out there working for us and care about us and love us, no human being can fight our biggest foe. And we need to acknowledge we cannot fight against forces larger than ourselves. It's like in the prayer for Psalm 60:11. Oh, give us help against the adversary, for the deliverance by man is in vain. Only God delivers us from Satan and sin. We can help one another, we can support one another, but in all the baptizings I've done, all the blessings that I have given, it ain't me. I can't save one soul. That's Jesus Christ. That's our Holy Spirit. That's God Almighty. And we need to remember that. And without the Lord being with us, we are simply a husk of nothingness. It's going to blow up and dry away. And that's what verse 4 is all about. Let me read verse 4 there. His spirit departs, he returns to the earth in the very day that his thought perish. If you go back to Genesis 2:7, then the Lord God formed man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And when we pass, our bodies are going to go back to dust, and our spirit is going to go to the one that created us, God Almighty. Ecclesiastes 12:7, then dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. It's as simple as that. We're here for a limited period of time. We are here to serve the Lord, because that's what we're called to do. Now, verses 5 and 6, God made everything. That's that reminder he has there. How blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the seas all in them, and who keeps faith forever. You see, that's the great thing. We may lose faith on occasion in God. He will always take us back if we go to him in repentance. We can lose faith in each other. But when you have declared God as your Lord and Savior, he keeps his faith in you forever. He will not desert you. He may let you flounder a little bit, but he's not going to desert you. And that's the fun part. Because what happens in verses 7 through 9, you've heard me preach from this an awful lot, but you've heard me preach about it from another angle. Who keeps faith forever, who execute justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry, the Lord sets prisoners free, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind, the Lord raises up those who are bowed down, the Lord loves the righteous, the Lord protects strangers, he supports the fatherless and the widow, and he thwarts the way of the wicked. And as I said, I hope you recognize all that, because I preach about that regularly. The sheep and the goats at the right and left-hand side of God during the judgment. The sheep have done the right thing, and they just did it because that's what God wanted them to do. The goats, when in the world did I do that for you? When you did not do it to the least, you did not do it to me. And you suffer the eternal damnation that comes with it because you refuse to follow what I have asked you to do. But if we take a look at everything here, what the psalmist is telling us is God did every one of these things for us first. He set the example. Keeps faith forever. Like I just said, God's faith in his chosen, in his those who believe in him, is forever. He will not give up on you, even if we might sometimes give up on them. Who gives food to the hungry. We need to feed those who cannot. And yes, in the world, that seems like it's a heck of a lot of a challenge. But you know what? We can all help. The Lord sets the prisoners free. He literally can come to those people in prison through us to minister to them and their needs. But he sets the prisoners of sin free through our salvation. He provides us with the Holy Spirit. He gives us the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and where he is in our lives at all times. He allows us eternal life through salvation of the sacrifice of Christ. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. Jesus did that a lot. One of the miracles that he did, he, over and over again, the blind can see. But then again, the Lord opens the eyes of those who cannot see their spiritual lives, those who are lost and confused and don't know where to turn. He gives us the word, he gives us the truth, he gives us our salvation. He shows us what is good in our lives, how we can change who we are to be the person we're supposed to be. He opens our eyes to all that we need to see. Sometimes we see it, sometimes we don't want to look at it or look for it. But he will open our eyes if we ask him to, if we pray for the Lord to show us what we need to do with our lives, how we need to follow him. He supports the righteous. I am really kind of worried about the status of the church in today's America, which is something I never thought I would say. Now, I know God's going to take care of us. Understand that. But I don't like what's happening from people with no morals and no ethics telling me that I can't believe in the Lord and Savior. It scares me. Now, on the one hand, it's out there prevalent, but I also see a whole bunch of stuff where Christians are coming forward and saying, get out of my face. I am going to worship how I want to work. I'm going to worship God, and there's not a darn thing you can do for it. And even if you did something, you know what? I'm guaranteed a place of heaven. It's going to happen. The Lord does protect strangers. How many times have you driven down the street and you've helped somebody in need? You've helped your neighbors? You've helped anybody? Family? You've done it with family because you love them. Sometimes they may not exactly in a Christian manner deserve it, but you know what? You love them. You're going to take care of them. Or you've gotten to know your neighbors. You know they go through hard times, but you're doing exactly what? Even the neighbor you don't like on the other side, you help him because that's where we are. Because Jesus at some point has protected each and every one of us. Long before I knew Jesus, before I really knew Jesus, there I can count to a half dozen times in my life where he took care of me and he saved me both literally and spiritually, and I didn't believe in him. Because he knew where we were going to go, how my life was going to turn out, what I needed to do, but I had to get there to do it. And if you look back at times when you suffered in your lives, and the unexpected happens. That's the movement of Christ in your life. That's the movement of God. The people of Israel, while they wandered in the desert, did not deserve salvation. They turned on him right, left, and indifferent. They didn't get to the promised land, but he didn't forsake them. He supports the fatherless and the widow. We are called to do that. Deacons were made in the church because widows and orphans weren't being taken care of. And I've told you before, I think one of the saddest things I ever did at Emmanuel was the fact that there were no father figures in a lot of the lives of the kids in our community. And in a lot of the ways, the men in our church became fathers to everybody. And when I say there were no fathers in the community, I mean no men in their lives at all. They'd either been abandoned, left aside, or dad was in prison, and uncle was in prison, and brother was in prison. And nobody was teaching these kids to come up how to be a man, what the right thing to do, what is ethical. And it was a responsibility that the men in our church actually took on. They didn't take it on as we're going to go out and save the world. They took it on in VBS as they saw kids that needed help, as they volunteered time within the neighborhood. He does that for us, but he put us on this earth to do that for others. And he thwarts the way of the wicked. Now, I will kind of admit that when we look around, there seems to be a lot of wickedness out there. But I also know that in the end times, when everything else is gone, the wicked are gone away. And it may only seem to be that he who does no right seems to get away with everything, and that's not right. Because all they're really hurting is themselves. We need to praise God because of what he's doing in our lives right here and now. I've mentioned it. I see what's going on. Our work day yesterday, we got so much more done than I thought we were going to do. And then watching the fellowship afterwards was absolutely wonderful. You look out here on the food gifts that we're going to give to people we don't know, that we may never see, but we're going to make sure somebody gets to eat. And not just at Thanksgiving, but times on. The ministry that was brought forward by Sherry this morning of donating stuff in our lives we don't need. Because, you know, as you're thinking of it, I got 3 pairs of shoes sitting in my closet right now I never wear. They can go to somebody else that needs it. My praise to God is this congregation. My praise to God is the fact that I have been allowed to become a part of this, of the people here, of the circumstances here, of meeting new people. I praise God that he loves me enough that I'm allowed to preach his word. Because believe me, there are days in the past, and it will be days in the future, I really don't deserve that honor. Because I'm human. And each and every one of you are in that same situation. Each and every one of us needs to praise God from the time we give up to the time we go to bed. We need to praise him when we have that flat tire, when we're running late for work. We need to praise the flat tire because we have a car. We can get from point A to point B. We have a job. In the holidays when we are coming on, and yes, people are coming to our house, or we're going to have to travel and go to somebody else's house and put up with all the other families because deep down inside we love it. And it's going to get tired. We're going to get worn down because we seem to try to push a year's worth of stuff into 2 months. But that's okay. We praise God that we have family. We have family that loves us. We praise God because Jesus gave himself to us. But you're going to have to find out your reasons on your own. And I've given you everything I can here, kind of a haphazardly. I give praise for our little ones. Because I'm watching the little ones and our teenagers and our not-so-teenagers growing up into being wonderful people. I got a little praise yesterday that the stuff we had, oh, and by the way, that all that stuff in that backyard there, putting out, I was going to start on that and got sidetracked, and I asked the ladies to do it, and next time we need a stump taken out or anything else, I'm getting the ladies to do it. Boy, they went through and wreaked havoc with all the vegetation back there. It was a wonderful sight, and I praise God for that. So brothers and sisters, I can't really say anything else, and I need to stop running my mouth because, A, I'm running out of time, and B, I do implore you to look for things in your life every day that you can praise God for. If we start to look at it, we'll see it. We see it, we praise God. We praise God, we give thanksgiving. And we share what we have with one another. So God bless each one of you. You're special. Amen.